Krishna Book, Canto 20, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Chapter 87, Scene 3, Sarvam Kalvidam Krishna. Sri Sanandana Uvacha, Swashrishnam Idam Apiya, Shayanam Saha Shaktivi, Tadante Bodayang Chakrus, Talingai Srutaya Padang, Yata Shayanang Sangrajang Vandinas Tat Parakramai Pratyushe Bhetya Sushlokaya Bodayanti Anujivanaha. Sanandana Kumar said, after the dissolution of the whole cosmic manifestation, the entire energy and the whole creation in its nucleus form enters into the body of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. And at that time, Lord Krishna remains asleep for a long, long period. And when there is again necessity of creation, the Vedas personified assemble around Lord Krishna and begin to glorify him, describing his wonderful transcendental pastimes. It is exactly like a king. When he is asleep in the morning, the appointed reciters come around his bedroom and begin to sing of his chivalrous activities. And while hearing of his glorious acts, the king gradually awakens. Sri Srutaya Uchu, Jaya Jaya Jahi Ajam, Ajita Dosha Gribita Gunam, Tvamasi Yad Atmana Samavaruddha Samasta Bhaga Agajagad Ukasam Akila Shakti Avabhodakate Kvachid Ajayatmana Chacharato Nucharin Nigamaha. The Vedic reciters, the personified Vedas, sing thus, O unconquerable Lord, you are the Supreme Personality. No one is equal to you or greater than you. No one can be more glorious in one's activities. All glories unto you. All glories unto you. For by your own transcendental nature, you fully possess all six opulences. As such, you are able to deliver all conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. O Lord, we fervently pray that you kindly do so. All living entities, being your parts and parcels, are naturally joyful, eternal, and full of knowledge. But due to their own faults, they try to imitate you by trying to become the supreme enjoyer. Thus, they disobey your supremacy and become offenders. And because of their offenses, your material energy has taken charge of them. Thus, their transcendental qualities of joyfulness, bliss, and wisdom have been covered by the clouds of the three material qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. This cosmic manifestation, made of these three material qualities, is just like a prison house for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are struggling very hard to escape from material bondage, and according to their different conditions of life, they have been given different types of engagement. But all engagements are based on your knowledge. Pious activities can be executed only when inspired by your mercy. Therefore, without taking shelter at your lotus feet, one cannot surpass the influence of the material energy. Actually, we, as personified Vedic knowledge, are always engaged in your service just to help the conditioned soul understand you. This prayer of the Vedas personified illustrates that the Vedas are meant for helping the conditioned souls to understand Krishna. all the Srutis or personified Vedas, offered glories to Lord Krishna again and again, singing the word Jai, Jai. And this indicates that Lord Krishna is praised for his glories. And of all of his glories, the most important is his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls in reclaiming them from the clutches of Maya. There are unlimited numbers of living entities in different varieties of bodies, some moving and some standing in one place. And the conditioned life of these living entities is due only to their forgetfulness of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entity wants to lord it over the material energy by imitating the position of Krishna, he or she is immediately captured by the material energy and, according to one's desire, is offered a variety of 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies. Although undergoing the threefold miseries of material existence, the illusion living entity falsely thinks oneself the master of all that one surveys. Under the spell of the material energy, which represents the threefold material qualities, the living entity is so entangled that it is not at all possible for one to become free unless one is graced by the Supreme Lord. The living entity cannot conquer the influence of the material modes of nature by his or her own endeavor. But because material nature is working under the control of the Supreme Lord, Krishna is beyond its jurisdiction. Except for Krishna, all living entities, beginning from Lord Brahma down to the ant, are conquered by the contact of material nature. Because Krishna possesses in full the six opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, Lord Krishna alone is beyond the spell of material nature. Unless the living entity is situated in Krishna consciousness, he or she cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, Lord Krishna, by his omnipotency, can dictate from within as the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises, Yat Karoshi Yad Ashnasi, Yaj Juhoshi Dadasi Yat, Yat Tapasyasi Kaunteya, Tat Karushva Mad Arpanam. O Arjuna, whatever you do, do it for me. Whatever you eat, first of all, offer it to me. Whatever charity you want to give it first to me. And whatever austerities and penances you want to perform, do it for me. So in this way, the karmis are directed to gradually develop Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Krishna directs the philosophers to approach him gradually by discriminating between Brahman and Maya. At last, when one is mature in knowledge, he or she surrenders unto Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunang Janmanam Ante, Yanavan Mang Prapadyate, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, Samaha Atma Sadurlabha. After many, many births, the wise philosopher surrenders unto me. The yogis are also directed to concentrate their meditation upon Krishna within the heart. And by such continued process of Krishna consciousness, the yogi can become free from the clutches of the material energy. But As is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Teshang Satata Yuktanam Bhajatang Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tang Yenamam Upayanti Te. Because the devotees, from the very beginning, are engaged in devotional service with love and affection, Lord Krishna directs them so that they can approach Him without difficulty or deviation. Only by the grace of Lord Krishna can the living entity understand the exact position of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The statements of the personified Vedas give clear evidence that the Vedic literature is presented only for understanding Krishna. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyo, Vedanta Krid Vedavid Eva Chaham. Through all the Vedas, it is Krishna alone who has to be understood. Krishna is always enjoying, either in the material world or in the spiritual world. And because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, for Krishna there is no distinction between the material world and the spiritual world. The material world is an impediment for the ordinary living entities because they are under its control. But Krishna, being the controller of the material world, has nothing to do with the impediments it offers. Therefore, in different parts of the Upanishads, the Vedas declare, Brahman is eternal, full of all knowledge and all bliss. But the one supreme personality of Godhead is existing in the heart of every living entity. Because of Krishna's all-pervasiveness, Krishna is able to enter not only into the hearts of the living entities, but even into the atoms also. As the Supersoul, Krishna is the controller of all activities of the living entities. Krishna is living within all of them and witnessing their actions, allowing them to act according to their desires, and also giving them the results of their activities. Krishna is the living force of all things, but still, Krishna is transcendental to the material qualities. Krishna is omnipotent. Krishna is expert in manufacturing everything. And on account of Krishna's superior natural knowledge, Krishna can bring everyone under His control. As such, Krishna is everyone's master. Krishna is sometimes manifest on the surface of the globe, but Krishna is simultaneously within all matter. Desiring to expand Himself in multi-forms, Krishna glanced over the material energy, and thus innumerable living entities became manifest. Everything is created by Krishna's superior energy, and everything in Krishna's creation appears to be perfectly done without deficiency. Those who aspire for liberation from this material world must therefore worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate cause of all causes. Krishna is just like the total mass of earth from which varieties of earthly pots are manufactured. The pots are made of earthly clay. They rest on the earth, and after being destroyed, their elements ultimately merge back into earth. Although the personality of Godhead is the original cause of all varieties of manifestation, the impersonalists especially stress the Vedic statement, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. the impersonalists, do not take into account the varieties of manifestation emanating from the supreme cause of Brahman. They simply take into consideration that everything emanates from Brahman, and after destruction merges into Brahman, and that the intermediate stage of manifestation is also Brahman. Although the Mayavadis believe that prior to its manifestation, the cosmos was in Brahman, after creation it remains in Brahman, and after destruction it merges into Brahman, they do not know what Brahman is. This fact is clearly described in Brahma Samhita, Agnir Mahi Gaganam Ambu Maru Dishascha Kalas Tatatma Manasiti Jagat Trayani Yasmad Bhavanti Vibhavanti Vishanti Yancha Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. The living entities, space, time, and the material elements like fire, earth, sky, water, and mind constitute the total cosmic manifestation known as Bhur Bhuva Sva, which is manifested by Govinda. It flourishes on the strength of Govinda and after annihilation enters into and is conserved in Govinda. Lord Brahma therefore says, Sarva Karana Karanam. I worship Lord Govinda, the original personality, the cause of all causes. The word Brahman indicates the greatest of all and the maintainer of everything. The impersonalists are attracted by the greatness of the sky, but because of their poor fund of knowledge, they are not attracted by the greatness of Krishna. In our practical life, however, we are attracted by the greatness of a person and not by the greatness of a big mountain. Actually, the term Brahman can be applied to Krishna only. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna admitted, Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Lord Krishna is the Parang Brahman, the supreme rest of everything. Krishna is the supreme Brahman because of his unlimited knowledge, unlimited potencies, unlimited strength, unlimited influence, unlimited beauty, and unlimited renunciation. Therefore, the word Brahman can be applied to Krishna only. Arjuna affirms that because the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence emanating as rays of Krishna's transcendental body, Krishna is the Param Brahman. Everything is resting on Brahman, but Brahman itself is resting on Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the ultimate Brahman, or Param Brahman. The material elements are accepted as inferior energies of Krishna, because by their interaction, the cosmic manifestation takes place, rests on Krishna, and after dissolution, again enters into the body of Krishna as his subtle energy. Krishna is therefore the cause of both manifestation and dissolution. Sarvam Kalvidang Brahma means everything is Krishna, and that is the vision of the Mahabhagavatas. They see everything in relation to Krishna. The impersonalists argue that Krishna has transformed himself into many, and that therefore everything is Krishna, and worship of everything is worship of Krishna. But this false argument is answered by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Tatam Idang Sarvam Jagad Avyakta Murtina Matsthani Sarva Bhutani Nachahang Teshvavastita Nacha Matsthani Bhutani Pashame Yogam Aishvaram Bhukta Brinnacha Bhukta Sto Mamatma Bhukta Bhavana. Although everything is a transformation of the energy of Krishna, Krishna Himself is not present everywhere. Krishna is simultaneously present and not present. By Krishna's energy, Krishna is present everywhere. But as the energetic, Krishna is not present everywhere. This simultaneous presence and non-presence is inconceivable to our present senses. But a clear explanation is given in the beginning of the Ishopanishad. Om Purnam Madak Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. There it is stated that the Supreme Lord is so complete that although unlimited energies and their transformations are emanating from Krishna, Krishna's personality is not in the least bit transformed. Therefore, since Krishna is the cause of all causes, intelligent persons should take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna advises everyone just to surrender unto Him alone, and that is the way of Vedic instruction. Since Krishna is the cause of all causes, Krishna is worshipped by all kinds of sages and saints by the observance of regulative principles. When there is a necessity for meditation, great personalities meditate on the transcendental form of Krishna within the heart. In this way, the minds of great personalities are always engaged in Krishna. With minds engaged in Krishna, naturally the captivated devotees simply talk of Krishna. Talking of Krishna or singing of Krishna is called kirtana. Lord Chaitanya also recommends kirtaniya sada hari, which means always thinking and talking of Krishna and nothing else. And that is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is so sublime that anyone who takes to this process is elevated to the highest perfection of life, far, far beyond the concept of liberation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishyasi yukvaivam Atmanam mat parayanaha. Krishna therefore advises everyone always to think of Him, render devotional service to Him, worship Him, and offer obeisances to Him. In this way, the devotee becomes fully Krishnaized, and being always situated in Krishna consciousness, ultimately goes back to Krishna. Although the Vedas have recommended worship of different demigods as different parts and parcels of Krishna, it is to be understood that such instructions are meant for the less intelligent class of men who are still attracted by material sense enjoyment. But the person who actually wants perfect fulfillment of the mission of human life should simply worship Lord Krishna, and that will simplify the matter and completely guarantee the success of one's human life. Although the sky, the water, and the land are all part and parcel of the material world, when one stands on the solid land, one's position is more secure than when one stands in the sky or on the water. An intelligent person, therefore, does not stand under the protection of different demigods, although they are part and parcel of Krishna. Rather, one stands on the solid ground of Krishna consciousness, and that makes one's position sound and secure. Impersonalists sometimes give the example that if one stands on a stone or a piece of wood, one certainly stands on the surface of the land because the stone and wood are both resting on the surface of the earth. But it may be replied that if one stands directly on the surface of the earth, one is more secure than on the wood or stone which are resting on the earth. In other words, taking shelter of Paramatma or taking shelter of impersonal Brahman is not as secure a course as taking direct shelter of Krishna in Krishna consciousness. The position of the jnanis and yogis is therefore not as secure as the position of the devotees of Krishna. Lord Krishna has therefore advised in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaistaisthaya Krita Jnana Prapadyante Anya Devata Tung Tung Niyamam Astaya Prakritya Niyata Svaya. Only a person who has lost his or her senses takes to the worship of demigods. And regarding persons who are attached to impersonal Brahman, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Yenye Ravandaksha Vimuktamaninas Twayasta Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhaya Avrukya Krishtraina Parang Padang Tata Patanti Adho Nadrata Yushmat Angrayata. My dear Lord Krishna, those who are thinking of themselves as liberated by mental speculation are not yet purified of the contamination of material nature because of their inability to find shelter at your lotus feet. Although they rise to the transcendental situation of existence in impersonal Brahman, they certainly fall from that exalted position because they have neglected to desire your lotus feet. Lord Krishna therefore advises in Bhagavad Gita, Antavattu phalang teshaṁ tad bhavat yalpa medasam devan deva yajo yanti mad bhakta yanti mam api. The worshippers of the demigods are not very intelligent persons because they derive only temporary, exhaustible results. Their endeavors are those of less intelligent men. But Lord Krishna assures that his devotee has no fear of falling. Thus ends chapter 87, scene 3, Sarvang Kalvidang Krishna. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.